Probably have noticed by now in the bulletin that we have a guest speaker today. I'm so grateful for so many in our congregation who are willing and able to come and preach and give me a week to focus on some other things. So this morning we get to hear from one of the men who, along with his son Cole, introduced me to pig herding last summer. I think I told you in detail about that experience after that happened, and really grateful for having gotten to know Gary and his family over the last couple years. They are kind and good people, and I think I mentioned that I was quite impressed with their operation out there when I got to visit a couple harvests ago. Pretty helpful when you got three strapping young lads come home to help you out, and Annette, and I'm sure Shauna are no slouches out there either. So neat family. Anyway, I'm excited to hear what Gary or what God has laid on Gary's heart to share with us today. So would you welcome with me my friend Gary Robertson?
Morning.
Morning.
Well, I've had a cold, so you'll have to put up maybe with a little coughing and stuff here, but I think I'll make it through just fine. Today, we're going to see how following Christ takes time, energy, and total commitment. We'll also see how committed God is to his relationship with us. Now, when I was asked to do this sermon today, my first thought was fear. You know, I knew I'd be out of my comfort zone. Now, you know, I don't consider myself a public speaker, so that probably don't help. In Exodus chapter 3 and 4, when God told Moses that he was to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses started arguing with God. He says that, I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. I'm not a speaker. You know, I can't speak to these people. And he even pleaded with God, please send someone else, he says. God finally did send his brother to help him. Told him his brother would do the speaking for him. So we see how, you know, Moses was out of his comfort zone too. He was feeling some fear. It was a big job he had to do, had ahead of him. And we're going to see how following Christ is going to also take us out of our comfort zone. It's not always going to be easy. So we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to give us what we need when we follow Christ. So let's pray before we get started here. Father God, I just praise you and give you glory, Lord, and I just pray that the words that I speak today will be your words spoken through me. And I just ask that you will give us some wisdom and insight from this message today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So to follow Jesus at first glance seems simple and easy enough. But it involves more than going to church on Sunday and being a good person. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we read that, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So Jesus is saying that we have to deny our selfish desires to be able to follow him. And I think a key word in this verse is daily. He says we need to take up our cross daily, each and every day, not just Sunday or not just when it's convenient for us, but, you know, he wants us every day to properly follow him. And we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. It says, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know, Jesus knew his teacher of the law had kind of a high standing in society, and he was looked up to, he had some power. Jesus was telling him before he commits to this, he must know that it's not going to be easy and comfortable for him to do. It may mean losing some friends or popularity, losing some of his standing in his community. So I believe that's the way it is with us too, you know, when we choose to follow Christ each and every day, it's not going to always be easy and comfortable thing to do. You know, we may even lose some of our friends. We may not be as popular in some circles. And it may also mean giving up certain activities that we're involved in. And I'm not necessarily talking about activities that aren't Christ-honoring, because I think we've already probably been working on that, but I'm speaking of activities that just take too much time, or we don't have any time left to spend with God and studying scriptures and prayer and stuff. So it may mean just giving up some television watching or something like that, but each of us has got to take care of that on our own, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So Paul's saying, you know, to run the race for Christ Jesus, we need to spend time, energy, and we need to be totally committed and continually practice. It takes practice, just like a high school sports team. You know, they practice maybe a couple hours a day together, but that's not all. They spend time on their own studying playbooks, you know, shooting baskets if it's basketball, maybe lifting some weights, building up strength. They're totally committed to it, so they put a lot of time and energy into it and continually practice. So that's how it is with our walk with Jesus too. We need to spend time, we need to spend energy, and continually practice what we've learned, put it into practice in our lives. So we need to be in the Word of God. Now, we're going to put up on the screen three things that I believe are important if we truly want to follow Christ. We need to go into training, and then we need to learn discernment. And we need to follow Jesus for the right reason. And we'll start with training. But now all three of these, like I mentioned already, they're going to take time, energy, and total commitment on our part. So to follow Jesus, we need to first be in training. The first thing we need to do is be in the Word of God. We need to study the Bible. How is it possible to follow Jesus if we never study the Bible or read the scriptures? And like Jesus said, it's a daily thing. You know, it'd be kind of like going on a family vacation without a map or Garmin or anything. You know, you're going to be driving and you're not going to remember which roads to turn on. You're not going to be able to find the places you were going to go. And I think in our family, we just get frustrated, probably just give up and say, let's just go home. This isn't worth it. And I believe that's the way it is in our with our, you know, walk with Jesus, that if we don't study the scriptures and know what he expects out of us and what it involves, we're going to get frustrated also and probably just give up, you know, and kind of falter. Now we'll look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the writer of Hebrews here was talking to the Jewish Christians at the time. And you know, obviously they've been Christians for a while. They learned the elementary truths, but they'd kind of gotten away from studying scriptures and stuff, is the way I read it, that they'd kind of forgotten these truths. They'd kind of in the back of their mind, you know, kind of forgotten what the elementary truths of God's were even. And you know, writer Hebrews is saying they should be able to be teaching this stuff by now, but they need to relearn it. They need someone to teach them all over again. So, you know, he says that by constant use, we will train ourselves to distinguish from good from evil. So we need to constantly be using these scriptures to, you know, to study and meditate on and to learn from. And Luke, people are saying that we would follow Jesus, but first. So we, you know, turn to Luke chapter 9. In verse 62, Jesus replied to these people, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is telling these people he wants dedication, not half-hearted commitments. He wants their total dedication. So following, you know, it kind of needs to become second nature as we train ourselves. It just becomes a part of us where it's just what we need to do. Now, the next I'm going to talk a little bit about to follow Jesus also takes discernment. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes about moral discernment. Paul writes Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So he's saying that through knowledge and depth of insight, which we get from the Word, that we will be able to discern what is best, and that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And this, you know, gives glory and praise to God. And we know that Paul commended the Bereans for their discernment of his teachings in Acts. You know, Paul would teach by day, and the Bereans would go home and dig into the scriptures to see if what Paul was teaching was correct. They were discerning that message so they wouldn't be led astray by, you know, false teachers and such. So all this just continues to take time and energy and commitment. Now, for those of here with children, and there's quite a few of them, and some that are going to have children, you have a chance to teach your children to be discerning by teaching in the Word. Are you kind of emotional? You know, you need to start young before they are influenced by the world's teachings. It's so important to keep up with what your kids are learning out as they go to school or whatever. Keep up so you can help them discern. You know, I'm not advocating being preachy to your children. You know, don't preaching to them, I believe, closes their ears. But by having family devotions and discussing, even when your kids are very young, discussing the scriptures among your spouse and yourself or any other adult that's there, it, you know, your children are going to be listening, and eventually they will be having questions. And this will be a chance to give them Christian morals and values. Amen. Now, they will take with them for life. And then I think even a better thing that could come out of this is it may lead them to making a decision for Christ at a young age. So give them this discernment and help them, you know, to have an answer for why they're following Christ. When they leave home, they need to know why. And they need to be ready with an answer. So Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, I'm sorry, I get... Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. But now, next, we need to follow Jesus for the right reasons. Mark chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, 7 and 8, says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd followed from Galilee followed him. When they heard what he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus had a lot of followers when he was performing all these miracles and healing people. He was a popular guy. People were coming from, you know, miles around. Some were coming for healing, and some were coming just simply to see this guy and to see these miracles they'd heard so much about. So he had a lot of followers, mobs of people. But then when he turned to John chapter 6, you know, Jesus started teaching some hard teachings. He started to teach that he was from heaven. And, he was teaching about what was yet to come. And basically, you know, the salvation message. And it was hard teachings for many people. Many people weren't ready to accept this. And so, you know, in verse 66 of John 6, we read that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. they're difficult teachings for him, and they rejected him. They weren't ready to accept it. And I believe that the people that were following him and deserted him when he started these teachings, they were following for their own selfish reasons. So I just want to say, we don't want to be seeking experience with God for selfish reasons. Now, I got a story of a friend of our family, of my family, that's a young lady, I believe, is seeking experiences instead of following Jesus. Now, she doesn't live in this area, so I feel I can use it as an example. I believe she loves the Lord. She says she does anyway. And she's continually seeking the experiences of God. She's seeking visions, prophecies, miracles, and many other things that I've never been able to find in scriptures even. But in putting her focus on this experience in God, she's neglecting her duty to follow him. And you can see in her lifestyle needs work. Her commitment to Christ needs work. And I feel like in seeking these experiences, she's seeking self-gratification. She says that with these experiences, she'll win the approval of other Christians. And she'll be considered very spiritual. But instead, what she should be doing is seeking to please Christ. And by neglecting what is important to her, she's opening herself up to false teaching. She's neglecting her scripture reading. And she can be easily led astray because she hears something and she's just going to believe it if it fits, if it can help her and her self-gratification. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, I'm not advocating we shouldn't be praying for healings and expect experiences, because, that is scriptural, and it's scriptural. And I pray for people's healings, others' healings too. We're supposed to be doing that. We do it out of love for the people. We do it out of love for Christ. So that's a good thing. And I just want to say, desiring an experience is, I'll try to explain it this way, desiring an experience is different from seeking an experience. I think we desire, God to work through us, and we desire the Holy Spirit's workings. It comforts us, and I think it's a good thing. When we are truly running the race with energy and commitment and focusing on Jesus, I believe we will have experiences that are truly from God, that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's lift up Jesus, not ourselves. So let's learn to follow for the right reason so we can glorify and lift up God. So to follow, we see it takes time, energy, and commitment. Now, as I've aged, I've become more aware that life on earth is short. When I was a kid, I thought, boy, this is going to go on forever. You don't even think of it. But as I've aged, I look at the 37 years I farmed, and it seems like a blink of the eye. It seems like just yesterday I started, and I fast forward 37 years, and I'm thinking, boy, I probably won't even be here. I'll have met Jesus face to face. And so it helps, makes the guy realize that time is short. And it makes me think, when I meet Jesus, am I going to think that I have put in the time and energy and commitment that I should have? I probably won't be satisfied at that moment that I did everything I could have. And, makes me think about that anyway. So Jesus loves us so much that he came down from heaven in the world to live as a man. He put in time, he put in energy, and he put total commitment into what he came here for. And he was definitely out of his comfort zone. We see that in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was really agonizing. And in verse 39, we read, "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" You know, he knew what was to come. He knew that he would suffer and die in a gruesome way. And he really didn't want to have to suffer and die like that, but he was willing to do it for his father's, because of his father's will. So, you know, have you ever seen such love that Jesus has for us? That's just an amazing love. And all this because he wants us to be with him in eternity. He's done this just so he can be with us and have that relationship. So they say, what commitment God has. So let's pray. Father God, I just praise you, Lord, and lift you up and give you glory, Lord. I just thank you for what you've done. You've done more for us than we could ever repay you for, Lord. You've just committed your total self to us. You've put in a lot of time and energy into that relationship with us, and you're there for us. Anytime we want to talk to you, Lord, you're there. You're just totally committed to us, Lord. Just thank you and praise you for that. And I just pray, Father, for all those in the world that just haven't accepted you yet, haven't put that time in, that, you know, aren't willing to make that commitment to you, Lord. I just pray, Father, that they will see you for who you are. And I just ask, Father, that for your blessings over everyone here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.